Are you watching the game on Sunday?
Which game's that?
Warrington.
No, I've no Sky now.
Okay. What do you think of this new signing, this prop we've signed?
Who's that?
From Catalans.
Why are you asking me these funny questions?
I thought you might know. I thought you might have an opinion on it.
I don't know. I don't follow rugby in any form.
Do you not read the Warrington Guardian amongst the pop-ups?
Yeah, but I don't read about the rugby. I read the obituaries.
It's quite depressing, isn't it?
Well, I have to see if somebody's died that I know. Did you ever get your Oasis tickets from him?
Hello, welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London. So, as why I go on a shopping spree, where are my two supermarket sweet podcasters? Firstly, think Waitrose, M&S and John Lewis. Yes, our more highbrow, statistical shopper, it's Sam Sankey.
Hello there.
And also a man more accustomed to the old Warrington Market or Affleck's Palace to pick up his Rizzlers. It's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
I'm off to see my accountant today, boys.
Excellent.
Got all the receipts from... I can't really get at them. I'll just... Got all the receipts from the pod there. You see all that?
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, blimey.
There we go. Yeah, got all those. So that should be
What's
good.
What's that ice cream receipt? Was that an ice cream receipt? Sorry.
How are you, Sam? Nice new bathroom. Lovely.
Yes. It's taken a couple of weeks, but finally not tasting dust all over the house anymore.
Mm. How many cups of tea did you make for him?
Oh, it was coffee, and it was one in the morning, one in the afternoon. Mrs. Sankey was looking after him.
Was that a tactic to try and get him to put the toilet in first because he needed a shit? So, you just kept loading him up with coffee? Sorry.
Just to point out, I'm on a... The little lads come home and dads are on a sponsored 365-day no swearing contest. This is day two.
So you're not going to win it, are you?
If you could up the swearing, lads, that would be great for me.
Is there a caveat in the small print with that for when you're doing podcasting?
No, there isn't. No, he said he's going to listen to every episode to make sure I don't swear.
That's a big ask, isn't it, for a young lad? Jesus.
It is. Have you been, Dennis? All good?
Interesting. We watched the games together because we've been camping, so Mrs. Waywell has to watch. And she goes, why are the Warrington team looking like a Palmer Violets packet when they're coming out the tunnel? And it does make me think about Palmer Violets, that it isn't really necessarily seen as a young man's sort of colour. It's like an old lady's colour, isn't it? So I just had a look at some facts on Palmer Violets as well. It was, I think, 1947. Shares a birthday with Noddy Holder and Joanna Lumley. Fact there. But a couple of things, what they're really pushing is putting Palmer Violets in some food and drinks. And they've recently just released the Cheshire Cheese Company flavoured with Palmer Violets. Can't imagine... That's shit, isn't
it?
So it's fitted in with the Cheshire click. And Somerset Cider, Brothers Cider, also flavoured with Palmer Violet. So, you can get yourself shit-faced whilst watching the team. It's a bit of Heston Blumenthal, isn't it?
He's not in a good way, is he? Did you watch the documentary on BBC Two, Heston?
No, he's not in a good way at all, no.
Wow, what's up with him now?
He's been...
Severe bipolar.
Yeah, bipolar.
Oh, yeah.
Medicated, stacked on the weight, slurring his words, all that kind of stuff, really, isn't it?
Are we talking about the match, the crowd at the match, or Heston Blumenthal?
Should we break the time frame continuum, or are we going to kind of keep within a rhythm tonight? What's the plan?
Don't know. How's that coffee? Is that coffee you're drinking?
Tis, just had a little sip. Yeah.
All right, well, we'll keep the rhythm then. You'll be going for a shit in 5 minutes, so must have a break. I think I've swore four times actually now, so I'm hoping I'm doing the obligatory conditions of my contract.
I feel this podcast is really laid back tonight, Sam. Have you noticed? We've all come off the edge, haven't we? We've all stepped back. Have you noticed?
Yes. Yeah. I think my edge is very much gone. Maybe we'll get into that later.
Okay. All right.
Very much laissez-faire attitude. Don't give a toss.
Right. The review of Catalans Away. The team was Dufty, Josh Thulis, Wrench, Gardner, Jake Thulis, Williams, Sneed, Yates, Powell, Vaughan, Stone, Fitzgibbon and Curry. Interchange bench was Harrison, Ratchford, Philbin and Crowther. Here's the highlights.
And when the sky dances Paris...
They go to the right-hand side. Little kick through! And is that a try? On bold debut! For Zach Gardner!
Hinting all the same. Might as well move, man, cut some shapes. And that's exactly what he thought as he saw the gathering crowd. What's potential if it's gone to waste? Sunshine...
Still an hour to go, though, of course. A lot will happen. Here is Williams! Brilliant pass inside! Williams will start it! He will make it! And he will finish it!
Fall through the sky, man, you can't miss. No ignorance, just left the bliss. Just close your eyes, man.
Two left in this set. Here is Williams, influential again. Little kick through! And it'll be a try for Jordy Crowther.
No ignorance, just left the bliss. Just close your eyes, man, move your hips.
And now we twist. Are we going to see some flair or skill? Well, there's some flair. There's some skill. And there's a brilliant solo try for Denis Bamford. Out of absolutely nowhere.
Yeah. So just twist.
That may be a bit of space here for Nick Cottridge. Cottridge and Makinson! Is Makinson able to get the ball out? He does! Picked up by his Bureau Fichet! And has Bureau Fichet managed to score the try?
Ignorance just left the bliss. Just close your eyes, man, you can't miss.
What can Carey do with the ball? Makinson racing through! Dufty comes up, ball goes down, it's picked up, chance here maybe for Bamford, it'll go over!
And just twist, fall through the sky, man, you can't miss.
Gets ball back inside for Williams, now Williams, has he got support? Kick through here for Thulis!
Through the sky, man, you can't miss. No ignorance, just left the bliss. If you close your eyes, you can move your hips. Yeah.
Final score, Catalans 20, Warrington 24. There were tries for Gardner, Williams, Crowther and Josh Thulis. Josh Thulis also converted three goals. There was a penalty from Sneed. Referee was Liam Rush. Attendance, a measly 6,548. Perhaps before we review, here's Samuel Burgess.
We're always happy to get 2 points. It's clear we're not playing our best. I thought it was a tale of two halves. We controlled the game really well in the first half and probably missed a few opportunities. In the second half we made a couple of poor choices and it cost us a lot of field position. I think they were very good in the second half, to be honest. They completed at 100% and they got some good players, and we had a couple of poor defensive choices, which is not good enough, so I need to address.
Right, well, who watched it first of all? Did you watch it, boys?
Yep, I did. Oh, Oh, don't tell me.
I had a different engagement at the Lyme Beer and Gin Festival.
Nice mix.
How was it? With some friends.
Was it good?
It was lovely. Sun was out. I watched on my phone 15, 20 minutes of the first half, and then friends arrived, so I put the phone away, having just checked the score at half-time, 18-2 to Warrington, and thought, excellent.
This was prior to the half-time Sam Burgess team talk. Yeah. Did we communicate, Dennis? I can't remember if we did or not. Where was I? I can't remember where I was. This middle of the night. I think probably. I watched it live, maybe. I think so. It's all a bit of a blur. I thought the first, not in terms of a skill set, but I thought the first half we played very well. I thought it was a bit more structured. We kind of put the ball up our jumper. We did things right. Mm. Everything we'd done wrong at Salford seemed to disappear. And I thought, okay, this is a lot better. I did think, what has happened to Catalans? Where have they lost their steel? It's just gone, hasn't it? It's just not there at all. Who was the little Aussie that's been sprouting off that Super League's no good? Because he needs to have a long, hard look in the mirror.
Cleary.
Yeah, he came from Roosters. Luke Cleary.
Okay.
Apart, it was a good first half, but there was a little sign where it just made a little bit of a difference. I think there's a big kick went up and Dufty went up for it. And I think this is where that you can see little signs and cracks of where we're going wrong defensively. Nothing wrong with the offensive effort, but Dufty was left isolated and three Catalan players around him and he knocked on. And then there was an offside and they got a kick. But that little element, I think, is what you see when we're playing so badly or we lose track in the game. It's just like the little bits and pieces of defensive switch off and laziness. And there's loads of examples of it as you go through and look at both of these games.
Mm. Completion rate was 78%. We had 10 errors. We didn't carry the ball as much as them. They carried it 185 times to our 169. Meters, they beat us there, 1,020 compared to 936. Post-contact meters, a big difference, 410 to 337. But again, I think we just keep taking the field with one prop. Yates is not a prop. He made 65 meters. He scurries and he works hard. He just lacks size. Mm. Top carries were Pangai Jr. Also, top meters were Pangai Jr. as well, with 1, 2, 3. There was someone putting himself in the shop window for 80 minutes, Sam.
Yes, he's a big unit, isn't he?
He is a big lad.
Are we going to talk about him now or a bit in a little bit?
We'll come on to him later, then. We'll come on to him later. Top tackles again was Curry, outstanding with 41 tackles. Powell on 39, Stone on 28. Fitzgibbon, not making many metres anymore, but he's still tackling.
He's missing a lot. He's missing a lot.
Runs from, what were the runs from dummy half?
Powell got one metre, wasn't it?
Yeah, Powell got 1 metre. Ratchford made 1 metre.
The other example of this, especially with the missed tackles, so both of their tries, the first one that I wrote down was Powell and Philbin at marker, and the guy just ran from dummy half and just ran round him, and he made absolutely fuck all effort.
I thought it was Dufty and Philbin.
On the other side, and then there was a gap between him and Philbin. And both Powell and Philbin just sort of almost watched the guy run round him. That's the difference. And then the second one, it was when he scored another try. It was just shit tackling. They were all like grabbing him, couldn't do it. And then finally when Crowther got back, if you look back at the video, he was offside anyway at the play of the ball at the start of the play. So it would have been a penalty. So it was just shit.
Mm. Yep. Sam, I mean, have you watched it back since? Have you had a look at it?
I've only watched the highlights. No, because there's the last 20 minutes highlights are on Super League website because the league changed hands and everything. So I have looked in detail at the try, that was given to, that was overturned as a no try when Makerson made contact on Thewlis. And as soft as it was, he definitely made contact. And I don't see how we could override the referee. But
there was a few like that, wasn't there?
Mm.
I thought Stone played very well. I thought, I think in the commentary, it's all about Williams. You know, he breaks away and then he kicks to Thewlis in the corner to score the winner. But I thought there was a lovely inside pass from Stone.
The offload, yeah.
He did it
yeah.
very quickly. Caught it, twisted his body, got it back to Williams. I thought that was a talented play. So I was pleased to see that. But, oh, they were lucky in the end, weren't they? They got, you know, they just managed to get over the line. And I thought they played better than they did against Salford. But...
I think there's a lot of positives to in that game, apart from these defensive, laxy, lazy sort of moments that they have. If you want, if wants to talk about moments, just have a look at them, because that's what's costing you at the moment. You don't have to be worried about the video ref on this one. But Williams was the difference again. And I know, like, you were voting him out the other week when we had that little roundup of who should be in, who should be out. But Williams is still a good player. He's still a good halfback, and he's got us out of the. He's got us out of the shit a few times, has he not?
Yeah,
and so he should with the money he's been paid.
Mm. And I think you've both, for me, you've both there hit the nail on the head. He is a good player, Dennis. I don't disagree with that, but I don't think he's a top player for top money. I think he's a good or a very good player, but he's talked up as an outstanding world-class player. I don't see it. I see him as a very good player, and if he was in a better team, he'd shine more. But when the pressure's on him, he runs well, he breaks tackles well. There's no doubt about effort, but I don't see a great sleight of hand or great guile from him, which marks out the very top halfbacks for me.
He's brave. Mm. He's quick.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
He's robust.
I don't want anyone to think I'm not saying he's a good player.
Yeah.
But is he that very top echelon? I'm not sure.
I'll come on to that in the second match, because I had a chat with Michelle Cartier. She made some great comments on the phone yesterday to me. So I'll come on to that. What do we think of Gardner? I thought Gardner ran well. Took his try well. I think his first run of the game, he made some good meters. Looks like a bit of a prospect. Looks like he could be quite big as well. Doesn't look quite as frail as some of the other kids that have come through. So I thought he went all right.
Yeah. He reminded me of Nicholson when he ran over for that try. He was a sort of, you know, just on that edge running through. Similar sort of size and whatever. But...
Have I got this right that they're getting Tomkins in? At Catalans, they're going to...
Yes, he's just been confirmed today or yesterday. He's been confirmed.
Is he the plonker that was carrying on in the pub?
Yes.
With his brother?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Super League just doesn't help itself, does it, really? It just... you can get away with anything in rugby league and nothing sticks, does it? Is it because nothing they've all... Anymore. Is it because so many of them have been... had all these misdemeanours that it's all like one big boys' club? I don't get it. I don't, you know, like if that video was sent to me and I was employing him, you know where it's going, don't you? It's going in the bin. Don't get it.
I suppose, if you look at someone's CV and you go back and, like, you know, you're taking it into consideration, then it's not a good look, is it? Have you got anything like that on your CV, Robin?
Mine's as clean as a whistle. Absolutely.
Is it?
As clean as a whistle, yeah. I mean, I don't have a CV. I just go off my name.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
When you, Dennis, when you move in them echelons, there's no applications. There's no. It's just you pop down for a coffee, and you're either hired or not there. And then
you've mentioned echelons twice.
I was really impressed the first time he said it, but now he's really enjoyed the first time he said it. And we're going to have it about eight times during the podcast.
Almost as if I've written it down somewhere, doesn't it?
Round 18 results: Hull 16, Wakefield 10, Leeds 0, Saints 6, Wigan 30, Huddersfield 10, Lee 28, Hull KR 10, and Salford 26, Cass 22. It left the table looking like this, with the three that matter: Hull in 6th, on 19 points with a 20-plus goal difference. Wakefield in 7th on 18 points with a 1-2-3 points difference. And Warrington in 8th on 18 points with a minus 65 points difference. Now, at that moment in time, it didn't look too bad. It looked like it was getting pretty congested, Sam. And let's not break the time frame continuum, but we were just sort of sitting at the back of the peloton waiting to strike.
Yes, we've caught up a little ground, a couple of victories to give us a little bit of self-confidence, perhaps.
Mm.
And we just need to kick on from there to get a bit of wind in our sails.
I don't watch much of Super League, but I did see the highlights, and I watched Wigan versus Huddersfield, and they've got this old rugby union winger running around.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he had quite a good game, didn't he, in that one? He was like a little jack-in-the-box. So I thought he played quite well.
Yeah, he's tried his hand at several things as Christian Wade. I don't think he's a long-term scenario for them.
Better than Burrell.
Oh. Now, there's a name Burrell from the recent past.
Yeah.
Conjure with.
Everyone's forgot about him, haven't they? Luther Burrell.
They were the days. They were the days.
God. Percentages, Rob. Did you not send me a percentage of what our chances are getting into the top six were at this stage?
Yes. And it was something like it was 27% chance of making the top six. But had they lost that game, they were down to 5%.
Yeah. Okay. So we know what's coming.
I haven't got the percentages. I haven't done the maths for the next one. I was hoping Sam had done that by now, to be fair. Yeah. I don't like stepping on his toes.
I thought it was the Castleford game you'd done the maths for.
Oh, was it? Possibly it was.
Yeah, but I think you basically said that if we lost against Castleford, we would be down to 6%-ish or something. So. Yeah,
which is about right. Mm. So, and Hull are playing well, aren't they? Hull have suddenly turned a corner by the looks of things. And Wakefield aren't going to go away. Have we still got to play these two teams, Sam? Hull and Wakefield?
We play Hull either the last or the second last game of this season.
Mm. Wakefield, no? Finished now at Wakefield?
No, we've played against Wakefield and we've lost twice against our former coach.
Mm. Do you think if Wakefield finished sixth, Darryl Powell will be on the phone to Stuart Middleton? Do you think they might be having a little chat?
I doubt it. I think
I think he's over that now.
As Oasis Mania sweeps across the Northwest, I thought about which songs by the Gallagher brothers could represent players and staff at Wyre. Let's start with Matty Ashton, the speedy winger who regularly leaves opponents trailing in his wake. Quite simply, he's electric. Stephen Ratchford has bounced back from a few big injuries recently, and despite it appearing like he's been slowly phased out of the side for a good few seasons now, he's still around and still involved. Maybe he will live forever. With regards to Dennis's favourite man, Daniel Russell, his efforts can only be summarised by one Oasis song, The Importance of Being Idle. If the rumours are to be believed about certain members of the squad missing a recent game due to preferring a session on the town, then it is a simple one for me. Perhaps Sam Burgess dropped the players in question because he found them in a champagne supernova. Thinking more about the podcast now, and of Sam Sankey's relationship with Wyre's number 4, Roderick Ty. Maybe Sam should just give Ty a break and let there be love. Year after year, Wyre seem to leave themselves short in the forwards department, and time after time we find ourselves talking about the lack of size in our pack. So maybe our philosophy of recruiting props can be summed up with little by little. And that brings me to Captain George Williams, a top player no doubt, but with the stories about his future continuing to grow, maybe he soon will be half the world away.
Well, there you have it. Oasis. They just won't go away. They're on tip of everyone's tongue at the moment. He's gone Matty Ashton, Electric, Stefan Ratchford, Live Forever, Dan Russell, The Importance of Being Idle, King and Philbin, Champagne Supernova, Roderick Ty, Let There Be Love, Prop Recruitment, Little by Little, and George Williams, Half the World Away.
I did think that Daniel would have been listening to Don't Look Back in Anger, because he's usually swearing and getting agitated by it all. So.
No, I thought that was a good piece, but I think he missed out the opportunity to say that our season will fade away.
No. Oh. Right. It's good to see you both done one, because I haven't. So I was really pleased that you...
Could you actually make it up on the spot? Could you? Do you know who Oasis are?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Who's cigarettes and alcohol?
Oh, excellent.
Who was a chain smoker at Warwick? John Woods.
Yeah.
There you go.
Or that would be the more or less the whole team back in the 1990s in the Mulberry Tree, Stockton Heath.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. We had a hooker from when I was living in Roman Road in Stockton Heath. We had briefly had a hooker.
Are we talking about when we were back at your house, or is this another time?
No, this is another time. Let's not mention that. And there was a hooker who played for Warrington. He was Australian. I'd have to go through the names. He didn't play for us for too long. Came out of the Mulberry Tree. Broad daylight. He's on the other side of the road, urinating against Osborne estate agent's window.
He mustn't have been happy with them house prices, I tell you. It was always expensive that side of the river.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
The squads have been announced for Game 2 of the Academy Origin Series between Yorkshire and Lancashire. Leeds Rhinos have the most players selected, with 13 players. St Helens and Warrington both have 8 players named. Yorkshire claimed an easy victory in Game 1 with a 42-10 points victory. The match will be streamed live on the RFL's YouTube channel on the 2nd of August. Ooh. Regards Warrington Academy, in 2025 they are still unbeaten, having won 7 and lost none.
Yes.
But they do play unbeaten Leeds Academy at Vicky Park this Saturday at 1 p.m. Now, there's no game this weekend. I mean, that's a cracker to get down to, isn't it? That's the one to go to.
It is. And I'm glad you've mentioned them, because I've meant to just touch on them a couple of times. And you mentioned Gardner earlier. I'm quite positive about the players that have come through. Because all of them look competent players. Again, that big caveat, if they're coming through at our academy, they just don't look quite as big as maybe at Leeds and Saints and Wigan. But you can't take away from them the start they've made.
Yep, good start. I think it seems to be all the kids in Yorkshire now end up at Leeds Academy. You know, they've got basically the entire Yorkshire team is Leeds. I went back through the results. I had a look at Warrington's results and then I had a look at Leeds' results. And Leeds are putting about 25 more points on every team that Warrington has beaten. Yeah. I think the Bradford, they absolutely thumped. Warrington just got over the line. So it'll be intriguing to see whether they can win it. But if anyone wants to go and watch some decent rugby league this weekend, then if it's not the ladies, it's the Warrington Academy team, boys. Get yourself down there.
Are you going, Sam?
I'm at Old Trafford this Saturday at the Test match.
It's coming out now. All right. So is it just the one day you're there, or are you there all for the next 5 days?
Yes, just the Saturday. The Saturday.
And what's the itinerary for the day?
My bank balance can't afford 5 tickets and 5 days worth of those prices at the champagne bar.
Ah, okay.
Oh, it's going to swing. Cloud cover 21, low of 13 on Saturday.
Yeah.
That should be That should be quite good, shouldn't it? Yeah, okay. Right, mm-hmm. Excellent. There you go. Parramatta Eels second row forward Ryan Matteson will join Warrington on a loan deal until the end of 2025. The 30-year-old former New South Wales Origin forward has spent the majority of the season injured or playing reserve grade. According to the Sydney Morning Herald, the club had granted Matteson permission to negotiate with rival clubs earlier this year, but he was unable to find another team. Matteson still has 12 months on his contract to go at the Eels, rumoured to be worth £350,000. Now, Sam, you're our NRL watcher. Fill us in. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Mixed feelings about this. If you'd have come to me 2 years ago and said, "Ooh, looks like we might be getting Ryan Matteson from Parramatta," he isn't the same player as Fitzgibbon, but I'd have felt in the same way about Fitzgibbon, someone who, with the right attitude, can come and do something excellent in Super League. He has gone certainly down the pecking order over there, not just through injuries. Even when he's been fit, he's been left out. Certainly seems to have had a falling out with the club or with the coach. But it's only on loan to the end of the season. I think it's a very low risk signing, and we'll see what he can do. It might be as much for his benefit as for ours. He might be looking to say, "This is me, come and sign me next year."
He's on good money, as so many of them are over in Australia. So I presume we're not paying his weekly wage, are we? We're just
You wouldn't have thought so, would you?
They're just fed up with paying it and they want a bit of money back. He's a bit like the lodger, isn't he? He's come in and...
A little bit like on a slightly different level, but the same principles, maybe Marcus Rashford.
Well, has
taken a 25% pay cut to go to Barcelona on loan.
Interesting, you should say 25% pay cut, but I was looking at the percentage of a Matteson sausage. That's 86% pork. Did you know how much percentage of that is fat in one of a Matteson sausage? Have a guess.
Well, hang on, you just said 85. You said 85%.
That's pork.
Right.
Suggested that there's pork.
15%.
Nope. Sam, higher or lower? Higher or lower? Percent
higher.
Fat. Yes.
Higher.
Yeah. 80% fat, 15% protein, 5% carbs. Wow. That's a Matteson sausage.
My daughter's just come back. She arrived back from the UK after looking after Mrs. London Senior. She landed yesterday. And her highlight, she said, was the taste of the sausages. She thought sausages are a lot better in England than they are in Australia. Yeah. You can't get a Cumberland sausage in Australia. I went to see this award-winning sausage maker. This is years ago in Narrabeen. And he was very keen to know that I was after a Cumberland sausage. And there's certain things on the list of what goes in a Cumberland sausage that are banned in Australia. I don't know what it is. Something. So you don't be fooled by Australians having barbecues. The steak's great. The sausages are shit. Oh, I've sworn.
Yes, excellent.
Edit. That's at 28 minutes and 7 seconds.
I'll get that out. Yeah, take that out. Thank you.
What do you think about him, Rob?
I don't know nothing about him, do I? I know absolutely nothing about the guy. I watched highlights from 2022 or something on his YouTube clip yesterday. I kind of looked at the clip and I thought, okay, that's quite impressive. It was about 4 or 5 good runs. And then I thought, if you put a clip of Philbin together, you could probably make him seem like a world beater, couldn't you? So it's very hard, these highlight reels. I am a little bit, they're clearly, I mean, look, if the money's right, then why not give him a go? I've got nothing wrong with it. But it does leave a little bit of a bad pork sausage taste in your mouth, thinking, well, it's all a bit late, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a bit late. I mean, we've got a 5% chance of making it now through to the playoffs, and you've got 70% fat in your sausage. So it's a bit...
Yeah. He's not a prop, is he? He's another Fitzgibbon then, roughly. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, he's not a prop, but he has played when they start messing around with the team late in the game. He has played prop. He's a big lad. Mm. He's what, 6'4"? He's about the same weight as Vaughan.
Mm. Yeah, he's big. Yeah. Is he a replacement? I mean, I think Harrison's done for the year, but is he a replacement for Fitzgibbon? I mean,
you've got to question
his position in the team at the moment, haven't you? The way he's been playing, so
yes. Mm. Oh, well, the way his body is as well. Really, I mean, we don't doubt about his toughness, but
yeah. Tell us about the next sausage we're going to sign.
After a code switch fell through with the ACT Brumbies, Tevita Pangai Jr. is set to leave Catalans at the end of the year. He will join Warrington on a one-year contract for 2026. The 29-year-old, 18.5-stone prop, has previously played in the NRL for Brisbane, Penrith, the Bulldogs and the Dolphins. He also played one game of State of Origin for New South Wales.
Mm. I like the 18.5-stone bit.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds like what we want, isn't it? Big bopper.
Yeah. Well, come on to something about size when we get to the last chap that's rumoured to be signing as well. But he had good stats in his game against Warrington. They fell off dramatically this week, which was...
Yes, he did against Hull KR, didn't they?
But I did go back to the week before the Wire game, and again he ran about 98 metres.
Mm.
So, but is his heart in it? Let's have a listen to a clip that was played on Channel 9 when they interviewed him after he left the Broncos.
Tevita Pangai Jr. has revealed he's quitting league, not because he fell out of love with the game, but because he never liked it in the first place. Pangai says he was forced to play by his parents, but is now intent on becoming a heavyweight boxing champion.
It was a decision that shocked all but those who were closest to him. Today, Tevita's tell-all.
I knew I'd drop below my standard and as an NRL player, and I couldn't live with myself if I was, to go out again next season.
Did you lose your passion for rugby league?
Yeah, I think I have. I helped Penrith with their run to a grand final. I played Origin, and now I want to try my hand in boxing, and if my heart's not in it, then the level of NRL, at the top level, it's too hard to be 50-50.
And then there was this stunning admission about a career that reached the heights.
I feel like rugby league was forced on me as a kid, so...
What do you mean?
I didn't really want to play league or footy as a kid. My parents sort of forced me into it because, I'm Polynesian and, that's what we do. We're big, we're solid and we run into people. But, I've always been a fan of Chalk. I always watched these fights as a kid and... I want to try my hand in individual sport and I feel like that's what I want to do. So, yeah, parents trying to force their kids to play something, maybe let them pursue what they want to pursue.
In some ways, you feel like this is your destiny?
Yeah, I feel like this is my destiny. I wish I, made the call earlier.
Tevita's angry at suggestions he negotiated a payout to leave.
People don't really believe you walked away from $750,000.
Yeah, well, that just goes to show no one really knows who I am. I've left a lot of money on the table when I've stayed loyal to the Broncos, and even when I went there, I took a pay cut. I thought I'd done the right thing by my coach, and hopefully him and Gus use the money wisely.
Wayne Bennett's already said that he'd like you to come and play for him.
No, I'm going to give my all in boxing and see how far I can go.
Do you think you're going
to
make it?
It depends what make it is to you. I definitely think I can challenge for Aussie title in the heavyweight division.
Danny Widler, Nine News.
Well, there you have it. My parents made me play rugby league. I mean, he's done everything to try and get out of playing rugby league. If anyone wants to see his boxing career, we'll put a little link on the pod to the YouTube clip when he plays at the Greek club, which is a bit like the Irish club in Warrington. We weren't talking Wembley Stadium, but... He gets knocked out by a haymaker from another ex-rugby league player. Mm-hmm. And that was the end of his boxing career.
What else is he going to do? I mean, he looks like...
Apparently, he was on $700,000 at the top of his pomp.
Jesus.
Is that when he was at the Bulldogs? Because he went to the Bulldogs, didn't he?
I think that was when he was at the Broncos, read. There's so much money flowing around in the NRL, isn't it? Oh, we were talking the other week about, you know, I think Sam Burgess was saying that, you know, we need to start increasing what players are played in Super League. I actually think players need to have a reducing salaries. I think they're all overpaid, both in the UK and Australia. I was looking at which teams make a profit in Australia, and there's only about three. Again, they're all backed up by multi-million dollar owners. A few of them make money because it's subsidised by the pokies. So, I mean,
yes.
I was at St. George a few weeks ago, St. George RSL Club, which is the big fundraiser for St. George. My God, how depressed. Like, walked in there at about 11:30 in the morning. They're all gambling. They're all being picked up on free buses, all these old age pensioners, to be driven to the club to basically just spend all their money in these pokey machines. I mean, it's awful to see. And they all get subsidised drinks and a bit of food. It's just like Vegas. It's just wrong. It's just ethically wrong. But again, if it's not for the likes of the backers that we've got at Warrington or the backers that they've got at Manly, etc., the books just don't add up. It's not a business that's run well based on profitability. It's just hobbies of millionaires backing these teams, whether it's rugby league or football.
They're here to millionaires.
But I think that's the same with most top-level sports as well. I mean, cricket is only subsidised by the England and Wales Cricket Board's test match revenue. Rugby union, we've had two top-range clubs go bust in rugby union.
Yep.
Recently.
Well, they all need to
Athletics is struggling.
Well, stop paying them so much. You don't pay a bricklayer more than he's worth. A nurse doesn't get paid enough. Why should all these guys be getting paid obscene amounts of money? I just don't get it at all.
I mean, cricket, Sam, they do make a lot of money off you, don't they, when you go on a Saturday. So, you know, you can see the flow down.
Oh, dear. But one player possibly leaving Wyre is Paul Vaughan, with Championship side York Knights making a bold move for the Australian prop. The ex-Kangaroo forward has reportedly been offered an extended 12-month period at Warrington on reduced terms. However, York have offered a higher value, longer-term contract.
Well, if York have got big backers then. What's that?
Our mole at the club has, and he's normally right, sent me a message the other day to say that York have offered 150,000. Sam's holding his phone up, can't see what it is.
Doesn't seem to work, that, does it?
No. Them ladies and nothing to do with it.
Yeah, somebody is following York City Knights with the name El Vaughan or Ellie Vaughan.
Is that the... I mean, it would be quite nice to go and have a year in York or a couple of years in York, wouldn't it? It's a nice city.
Yes.
You know, why not? Why would you want to run around in Super League getting bashed up when you can go and play a grade down and live in York?
And go to the Viking Museum.
No-brainer, isn't it?
York races is a nice day out, isn't it?
York
races.
I used to take all my girlfriends... Sam, all my girlfriends. Jesus. It was always a trip to York early on in the piece. Same hotel every time. Make it look as if it's the first time you've been there. You know, oh, this is nice, isn't it? Usual room.
Hello, Mr. London. Usual room.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, I've got some stats here, some comparative stats between Pangai Junior and Vaughan this year. Let's run through them. Pangai Junior, 4 tries, Vaughan, 0. Tackles made, 217 to Vaughan's 480. Missed tackles, Pangai Junior, 38 to 96. Tackle bus, Pangai Junior wins on 63 to 49. Carries, 192 to Vaughan's 253. Meters, Pangai Junior 1301 to Vaughan's 1732. Average gains pretty much the same. Pangai Junior 6.78, Vaughan 6.85. Offloads, Pangai Junior's second most offloads in Super League with 36, but Vaughan is only one behind on 35. And errors, Pangai Junior 10, Vaughan 6. I guess the big difference there is the one that you don't see is minutes, Sam.
Yes.
Mm. Okay. Vaughan does a lot of minutes. Pangai Junior can't do a lot of minutes. He blows after a while.
Yeah. What I would ask though, and let's put to one side the motivation. Let's assume both are motivated to carry on at Warrington. Yeah. Would you, when you look at what we've done this year, if say Vaughan and Harrison were to start next year, and then when Vaughan goes off, you bring in Pangai Junior on the pitch with his potential for tackle busts and offloads, that's surely got to be better than what we've got at the minute.
I'm not sure they all fit under the salary cap, though. I think that's
I appreciate that. Yes, I do appreciate that.
Because I was looking at, you know, when we were talking about the Catalans game, if we'd had Pangai Junior in our team, it would have made a big difference, I think, if he'd come on and done 30 minutes. But I think as much as we talk about the recruitment, I think a lot has to be said about balancing the books. Are the books being balanced correctly? I would love to see what these guys are on to get a feel more for, well, he's not worth that. He is worth it. Because it's all very well saying, well, Philbin, bloody Philbin again. But if he's not getting paid much, I think, you know, the Ollie Leyland lad, he's only on about £25,000.
It's not much more than minimum wage, that.
No, exactly. So I don't see any, as much as you can criticise the kid and say, well, he's not playing the best, he's not really getting paid much.
Yeah, but then you've got to question, why are you spending 25 grand then? Because if it's on a player that's not going to do anything for you, then it's just like, might as well not bother. I'm starting to think that you might as well buy a feeder club and then, you know, just farm out your players to a feeder club, because then you've got an end-to-end strategy, haven't you? You bring them through that system, feeding into Warrington, and then people like Vaughan or whatever.
Yeah. Albeit it was done a bit half-arsed. That was tried with Super League only not that long ago. I mean, we had partnerships with Swinton. We've had partnerships with Widnes. I think we even had a partnership with one of the Cumbrian clubs briefly, but that might have been something different. So it's these type of things get tried, but they don't always get typical rugby league. They either get dropped after 12 months, or they don't get thought through.
There's not the depth. Mm-hmm. There's not the depth. We've got a bit of an issue that next door have bought a new Kelpie, and it barks and barks and barks.
What's a Kelpie?
A little bit like a border collie, a bit more robust, a bit bigger, Australian dog.
It's a dog, right?
I'm just gonna get the little lad to go outside and just give it a little bit more of that rat poison. Just give me just a second.
That's nice. I wasn't sure with it being Australian.
Master London,
what he was on about.
If you hear that dog bark again next door, can you go and get the rat poison again?
Can I just ask Dennis, have you heard a dog bark? Because I've not heard a dog bark.
No, I've not either.
I don't want to fall out with him next door, because she's a paramedic and she's very attractive.
And also, you might keel over at any point and need help.
What are you doing?
Oh, I've opened the door and the Russian Blues jumped in. It's on the bed now. It's coming over any second.
You'll
see it in the frame there, can't you? Finally, rumour down under. Warrington are circling for Melbourne prop Tui Kamakamika. The NRL veteran is off contract. With the salary cap pressures mounting in Australia, he could be tempted to the HJ. It's understood Stan Burgess is keen to add the experience for Gian to his squad. Kamakamika would need to take a pay cut to stay at the Storm, making the move to the Wire increasingly likely.
So this one looks far more promising in terms of he's been playing regularly for the Storm for the past number of years, and he's also a big lad. He's a monster, this guy, and he could take Super League by storm if he came and fit into us.
You say that. I had a nice chat with Michelle Cartier yesterday. who rolled.
But that's comparing him at that level.
No. She rolled her eyes and said, basically, nah, not good enough. Not good enough.
Yeah.
And fallen out with Bellamy. He wrote she wrote in a text to me. He's no.
No one will notice. Keep going.
He's no frills.
It's all right. You know what? Can I just say I had no idea who Michel Carter was until tonight.
He has no frills. Yeah. 2x20-minute runs. He doesn't break many tackles, and he has a mistake in him. He's more a Gareth Cavell than an Adrian Morley. Bellamy tends to play him in at 17. Only one police charge, which was subsequently dropped.
Excellent. So, is that a KPI for Australian players,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I watched his highlights and I kind of disagreed with Michelle because I think he's a bit of a stepper. I think he's got a little bit of a Phil Ford going on. And then it was brought to my attention that, of course, Phil Ford, when allegedly things weren't going too well for him, he hid in Carl Webb's attic. I don't know if you remember this. He got up in the attic and hid in Carl Webb's attic through the loft hatch. And I said to Michel Cartier, I said, would this lad get up through the loft hatch? And he said no. And I thought, neither would Pangai Jr. So moving forward, I think, you know, a bit like the cricket ball at the, you know, when it's gone out of shape and they can't
have to fit it through the rings. Yeah, well, yeah.
It's the other way around. We send them round to Carl Webb's house, and if they can fit into the loft, we don't want them. What do you think?
Okay, yeah.
Yates is going straight in. He's going straight into the loft. So he won't fit in Carl Webb's loft, apparently. So that's good. Sam, can you have a little go at and the ball's with Tui Kamikamika, and he passes it to Pangai Jr. and it's over in the corner for Josh Thewlis. Can you give us that one, please? Come on.
Can you give me several weeks to work on that one? Maybe if I say it very slowly, then I can speed it up.
Ah, dear. What do you reckon, Dennis? You're a big fan of the NRL and the Melbourne Storm, and you've watched a lot of Tua Kamikamika. What do you make of him? Nothing.
Look, I the only way I'm going to remember him is Kama Chameleon, Boy George. I think he's my only get out of jail. No idea, not seen him, don't know who you're on about, but I know he can't fit through a loft hatch, so sounds good to me.
Oh, Samuel, first a performance on Jules Holland, and now Glastonbury. Why, at this rate, we'll be outselling Oasis. Although, based on the way we're playing, I don't think there'll be any need for season ticket dynamic pricing in 2026.
Are we performing up the Pyramid Stage, Ralph, or?
Unfortunately not, Samuel. We're on the Theatre and Circus Field Stage. You know, for cabaret performance arts and comedy.
Oh, I didn't realise before our attacking lineup is performing that.
They don't, Samuel. They've categorised us as comedy. Now, where has Powell and Crowther gone to? Don't tell me they're still putting up their tent.
Crowther couldn't bend down to hammer in the pegs. And Powell took so long running forward with his mallet, the entire thing blew away.
Oh, tackle sleeping bags. Just look at this buffet, Samuel. Oh, that does remind me. Madam Boyd? Would it be possible if you could make us a picnic for Glasgow?
Certainly, dear. Would you be requiring those extra little festival trimmings in your picnic?
Oh, no. just like the one here.
You mean like that crusty beige Yorkshire ham sandwich with little to no mustard, with its flaky exterior and gammon personality?
Well, that's no way to talk about Sam Burgess. Anyway, it's just a little reminder, Sammy. Please, please, please stay off the MDMA, ketamine, cocaine, cannabis and nitrous oxide.
What about the magic mushrooms?
Oh, unfortunately, there's none left, Samuel. The recruitment team ate them all. I mean, no wonder when they come to their sign-ins, they're off the tits in the dark.
Anyway, Ralphie, now that the lads have brought in a drum for the dressing room, I'm sure we'll have the crowd dancing along to our beat.
Have we put our playlist together?
I doubt it. They can't even play the ball from a set of six. Never mind remember a playlist. Oh, Ralpho, if only we'd rehearsed our lines a bit more, we wouldn't be in this mess.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Ralpho, do you really think we can still make the playoffs?
I think there's more chance of you making the main stage on Sunday night here at Glastonbury than the one at Old Trafford. It's fair to say, Samuel, your career's heading towards to just becoming a roadie. You know, a strong support to a good band, or in your case, just a bit of support to a coach who knows how to strike a tune.
I've tried my best, Ralphie. I've tried my best.
Oh dear. Oh dear. Oh now. Oh, come on, fella. There, Samuel. With a bit of luck, you've got another 12 months to conduct this lot without a baton or any pressure whatsoever. Oh, I just to think, Samuel, as the crowds fall off at the HJ, the acoustics will be excellent, as I have no doubt your third album will echo the second. Wanna live with common people like you? Wanna live with common people like you?
Tackle sleeping bags.
Mm. Mm.
That was a highlight. Oh, tackle sleeping bags.
I'd quite like to go to Glastonbury. I was watching it again last night. I was watching a few of the lesser acts.
Mm.
And I said to Mrs. London, I said, oh, I'd bloody like to go to... We should go to Glastonbury one year. Just, she said I wouldn't last 24 hours. She just rolled her eyes. She said, you're pathetic. And she walked off.
She knows you so well. She really does. Can I just ask you, who are the smaller acts that you're referring to? Because this is a test sandwich.
Oh, God. I mean, now I watched dozens of them last night. I mean, yeah.
Any stand out? Hurry up, Google. Yeah, forget it. Okay, yeah. He did this chatting, I don't know which wife it was, but he did claim, I think it's his current wife, said, I've been to Glastonbury loads of times and saw Hot House Flowers and they've never played Glastonbury. So
saw Hot House Flowers at Legends. He hit his head on the beam at the back in the big room. Who did I watch? CMAT. Yeah, Gracie Abrams, Turnstile,
Wet Leg. You know?
I can't do the Prodigy with that. Now the bloke's dead. Doesn't work for me.
Oh yeah,
doesn't work. Oh yeah,
I saw some of them. They were on the other stage, weren't they? One night,
I could hear that from my back garden.
Really,
it was that loud. Yeah, it was unbelievable. Every just a thud in the air because it was really still. It's unbelievable. Mm. So loud.
Yeah. Right, we can't delay it any longer, lads. The review of Castleford. God. Here we go. Brace yourselves.
For fuck's sake.
The team was Dufty,
Josh Thulis, Wrench, King, Jake Thulis, William Sneed, Yates, Powell, Vaughan, Stone, Fitzgibbon and Curry. Interchange bench was Philbin, Crowther, Young, Irwin and Ratchford. So, when the chips are down, could Wyre keep their hopes alive for the playoffs? It's hotting up. Here's the highlights.
Yates, as is his wont, just bashes it in. Bruises a few rib cages and then plays the ball and Powell goes out and Curry gets it away and a reach and a dive from Sam Stone. Lawler again, three to go. Singleton was there, but it comes back with Atkin. And Assi now joins in at pace, and he will try and bamboozle his way through. He's over the line. Has he tucked it down? Yes, he has. Assi with a grubber kick. Oh, it's been missed. It's been missed, and Lawler dives on it. Oh, the fumble. The fumble, the punch of the ground by Lachlan Fitzgibbon. It's with Williams. Duffy with a ball over the top and a run to the corner. Well, defenders are across there very quickly, but I think he thinks it's a try. Wellington have done a job so far, but they've one more defensive effort to make here. Curry comes running out because he knows that Arce is going to get that kick away, and Arce is going to find the ground, is he? It bounces away from Mellor. It's still up there. There's an offside. There's a clear offside, and Castleford get a penalty right in front of the sticks.
It's a big shot.
Down by Simbican. It's Atkin who picks it up, and Sidney's there, and Sidney's looking to run away, and he does get the pass away, and Josh Sim will celebrate as he scores. Curry puts it back to Williams. Williams now. Oh, this is good handling. King gets it away. And now it's with Josh Thulis, who cuts inside. What a tackle that was. What an incredible tackle that was. Williams puts a kick towards the corner. The chase is on. Ratchford, has he got it down? He claims it as a try. This might be the last play. This might be it. Inside it goes, little chip and chase by the 17-year-old, but it's taken by Rooney. He'll take the tackle. Castleford fans celebrate like they've just qualified for a grand final. But it's a rare, rare victory in these parts for the hometown team. Lives have found the lives of
final score, Castleford 20, Warrington 14. There were tries for Stone, Jake Thulis.
Great start. Great start.
What?
Stone, great start.
Stone, Jake Thulis and Ratchford. There was a goal from Sneed. Referee was Jack Smith. The attendance was finally put up yesterday at 6384. Now, I did a likely, lads. I'm no way I'm getting up to listen to this at 3 a.m. the time it was. So I was, much to the disappointment of my daughter, who was delayed in Dubai, and was sitting in the airport for 4 hours, ringing me and sending me messages, and I wasn't responding. But there you go. Quick word from Sam Burgess first. It's becoming very common, the poor decisions. I'm really struggling to understand that call, so I'll ask for clarity again, and I'll probably get an email saying, yeah, we got it wrong. It should have been a penalty try. Sorry, Sam. It's past the point of frustration. All that being said, we just weren't good enough. I'm not making excuses. Just from the neutral's point of view, it's becoming a bit too much. It certainly is becoming a bit too much.
Sam Stone got the first try. I'm the first podcasting person to get the first try right. So I just thought,
was,
well done.
He was 20 to 1. You had £5 on him.
Great. So that's it. After very that, good. There's nothing positive.
That was a highlight. Yeah. Yes. That was a highlight of the day.
Well, where do you start with this one? You know, all the things I was just sort of pointing out about those lazy bits of defence that we saw glimpses of against Catalan all came home to roost this week. And in general, I was thinking about this. They just really just didn't like look like they were up for it. It was just like, oh, I've got to go work today. Oh, yeah, all right, I'll be back at six or whatever time they were playing. It just seemed really flat. That was my impression. You know, and the other thing as well, God love him, Dave Woods, how he got through that match commentating on that. I really felt for him. It was like long silences and he was really struggling. There was nothing to commentate on. It was awful.
I wrote this down. He said at one point, we've been here when the atmosphere has been electric. It's not quite like that at the moment.
Oh dear!
Yeah.
So we were watching this. Yeah, me.
You want to leave? You want to leave, or you're going to have a talk about it? Are you going to go? Right. Fair enough.
Well, me and Sam were talking about it. Well, you know, sending messages while it was on, and we were laughing at the fact that Rob hadn't seen any of this, and he was going to wake up to see this.
I took this on without a coffee. I just opened my laptop at about 6 a.m. and tried to watch it without a coffee. A couple of years ago, I can't remember where we were somewhere. It was like, oh, excuse me a second.
Sounded like a quack.
It did, didn't it?
Hello. Yeah. You all right?
I just forgot to call yesterday.
Oh, okay. I'm just doing the podcast.
Oh, sorry.
What's your view of Warrington compared to Manly?
I'm not responding that, Dad.
What? Hello?
No.
Hello?
You're recording me.
Wow. I'll speak to you later. Are we going for lunch today?
Are we?
You said we were, but then you seem to have made other arrangements as always.
Wait, are you going to buy me lunch?
Oh, yeah, I'll buy you lunch, yeah.
Okay, I'll see you later then.
All right, I'll give you a call in a bit. Love you. Yeah. Wasn't much love in that, was there? She's willing to go for lunch if I buy.
Yeah. It's the highlight of this episode has been Mrs. London Senior, to begin with, and young Miss London Junior just being forced to go to lunch with her dad.
The thing is with Castleford as well, when I went, I've only been to Castleford once, I think, and it's, you know, when you look at the facilities that they've got and what resources they've got available to them, they are really doing it on a tight budget. You know, they've not got expensive gyms or anything like that. No. And yet they can outplay. There's one statistic that really stands out, which is the completion rate. They've got this team who are really on their arse. They haven't got, you know, great players, but yet 99% completion rate. Hard to beat any team that's doing that, I suppose.
Well, someone did point out to me on X, because we put the stats up, and they said, how can it be 99 completion rate when they've made 5 errors? So just to let you know, that means 500 passes and 5 drops. And I thought, is that possible? And if you look at 500 passes divided by 172 carries, Sam, you're saying that every carry is 2.9 passes. It's feasible, isn't it? I guess, just.
One from dummy half.
I think Sam's still alive. He's just stopped. He's just not talking. He's just leant back in his chair and he's done. Put a mirror in front of his face, quick.
Well, I was left on Sunday afternoon dejected, disheartened, resigned to the fact that another year has just pissed off, hasn't it? I was the one who said we could win with the right attitude and
could
get some confidence.
Could or would, Sam?
Could, no, I said could, but I did say it quite strongly. I'll accept, I said it quite strongly. We could win about 900 games out of the next 901. And when we look back on them, we've just, over the last few weeks, we've played Castleford, Salford and Huddersfield, the bottom three. And the aggregate score is the bottom three, 56 points, Warrington 54. So we just shit. And if you don't mind, I'm going to quote a guy who was on the internet, one of the Love Rugby Leagues or All About Rugby Leagues or whatever, what he is. Name was Will Jackson. And I read this and I thought he summed it up perfectly. And he just said, at the first sign of any real pressure from Castleford, the visitors crumbled in an alarming fashion. As Dejan Azzi sold Conor Ronch dummy and touchdown before Lachlan Fitzgibbon failed an attempt to deal with a kick. It was as soft as you like. And with all due respect to Tigers, who have made huge strides of improvement since they lost to Salford the week before, they weren't producing anything complex, but Warrington's defensive line was penetrated twice, which served to underline their lack of cohesion, which is what Dennis said, lack of mental strength when they're under the pump. And I thought, I'm just going to use that because I can't sum that up any better. It was basically shit. And add to that, at 50-odd minutes...
I've stopped. I'm doing Wordle.
Oh. Yeah. At 50-odd minutes, when the next second captain's challenge came up and there were just blurry screens everywhere and you couldn't see what the fuck was going on, I just switched it off and went upstairs and did some painting.
Did you get any positives out of that, Sam, anywhere?
None.
I mean, all right, okay. What colour was the paint that you used?
Oh, it was just an undercoat. It was just priming the walls. Oh,
classic, he does. I mean, who's done an undercoat for 20 years, but he's still undercoating, isn't he?
No.
It's brand new fresh plaster. Brand new fresh plaster.
Yeah.
Stick it on. Ah, dear. Well, it takes me back to what Michel Cartier said to me on the phone. We had a talk about the wrench incident, and it's not the first
time. Don't put your hands over your mouth in front of your mic. It does change it. Did you hear that, Sam? He dropped off.
The professionalism of this podcast fell off in series five. I mean, since then, it's been a free-for-all.
When you stopped bothering to edit it.
Yeah. Are you struggling not to swear?
No,
is this what's going on today?
I've told you, I've come out the other side. I gave up weeks ago. The wrench incident where he only had one option, and that was to pass the ball. And it looked like he'd never played tuck and pass in his life. And he's not the only one who can't draw a man and pass a ball. Ashton's the same. There's lots of athletic ability in the team, but there's no sporting nous. They're not sportsmen. None of it looks fluid. It looks like they turn up at training and they practice that move to the left time and time and time again. But there's no individuality. There's no Jonathan Davis. There's no one in that side that looks at it and goes, actually, I'll just delay the pass for a second, or I'll just do a little skip and then I'll throw. It's all structured because there's a lot of the guys on the team who couldn't make the school football team, so they've turned to rugby. And when you watch the NRL, they're all ball players. They could all play in the slips. I've said this before. They're all low handicap golfers. They're sportsmen. And this lot aren't. And there's exceptions to the rule throughout the team, but there's too many players who are just not getting any sporting ability. They've just got athleticism. So you end up rolling your eyes every week and going, oh, God, that should have been a walk-in. So,
but that looked straightforward, though. That didn't look difficult, did it? That's
the
problem.
But he still can't do it, and it's not the first time. He's rapid, but he's got no judgment of how to throw a ball. And there's a whole heap of them that are the same. And this goes back to what you were saying before, Sam, about Williams. He's incredibly structured and he's got his little bag of tricks that he brings out. But I don't think any of them are that natural. He did do a kick at Catalans, which was off the cuff. But I'd like to see more individuality in the team. I'd like to see some style and some just ball craft rather than this structure all the time. And again, you can't go to Yorkshire on a dirty, wet afternoon with one prop. And we've basically gone with one prop, bar Philbin on the bench. Yates.
Well, we had both. We had both Ratchford and Irwin on the bench, didn't we? Were they both covering? Were they both covering for Sneed and a potential dodgy hamstring?
Although I actually wrote down that out of everyone, Ratchford was the only one showing a sense of urgency. He was running out from dummy half, trying to close things down, running at the kickers. He scored the try. But everybody else, it's just like fucking lackadaisical. I mean, under the high kick again, you know, you had Dufty the week before, and then you've got that kick under the post, and like, it's just like patter cake. And like, who's get it? Sneed was a third man in a tackle on one of their tries, and he just sort of fell off like a, I don't know, just like, it's just shit.
I mean, they're talking this Irwin kid up, but I've yet to see anything from him. And he did the classic mistake of taking his eye off the ball. He was too busy waiting for the next play. Wait, clearly the ball was about to be popped out and it just hit him and he knocked it on. I mean, that's just schoolboy error. Yeah. Again, I thought Stone did all right. I thought Stone is an improvement on Russell. I think he's a better second rower than Fitzgibbon at the moment. Fitzgibbon again had a shocker, didn't he? I mean, there was a penalty try in there. I don't know what the rule is. Maybe the rules was right and he couldn't give a penalty try, but did seem a bit ridiculous. But had we even won the game, they've just lost the 2 weeks before to the bottom two teams in Huddersfield and Salford, yet they still managed to beat us.
And out-enthuse us.
Yeah.
Which is criminal, isn't it? Over the last 5 weeks, every team we've played, Huddersfield, Hull, Salford, Castleford and Catalans, have had better completion rates than us.
Yeah. It's our best player on the pitch, I think, was Ratchford. And he made no meters. And I went back and thought, we scored a try. He must have made a meter, but he caught the ball over the line, so it wasn't classed as a meter. So, oh, it's a mess. It's a mess. It's a mess of promise, has-beens, and players that are just not good enough. It's a real, and it just comes down to years of poor recruitment.
That article I sent, that Matt Hennessy wrote a nice piece again. You know, I think that sums up exactly what you were just saying there, is that it's just all promise and stuff. And it's not something you can get behind, is it?
I'm a little bit perturbed at sort of Burgess's attitude. He doesn't seem to be any pressure there. I'm told there's pressure, like, you know, he's got to perform, but I thought he looked like he was about to go on holiday after he gave that interview. I didn't feel, when Darryl was in charge, he looked really upset. I think Burgess is thinking, well, I've got another cushy year here at Warrington and then I'll bugger off back to Australia. It doesn't strike me in any way now that I'd like to see a bit more disappointment in him, not dancing on a podium in Las Vegas or just giving a sort of, whatever, we've lost again. Doesn't seem to be. Yeah,
I am sure internally he's not like that, Rob. I don't think he's just, but I do understand what you mean when there's not that, and that might actually go right across the club, right across the playing group. If you've not got, and you've mentioned it before, in the NRL, if you don't perform 2 weeks in a row, sometimes 1 week, you've got a guy in the reserves that's as good as you, waiting to prove that he's better than you. And there's just not that push on everybody. And I think we've said before, there's lots of individual efforts. This week, a couple of them will play well. Next week, a couple of them will play well. But they've just not put it together at all this year, have they? Put it together at all.
Well, you can't play with only one prop. You can't play rugby league with no hooker that runs from acting halfback. It'll be a big improvement when Walker comes back, because they have just, their form has just diminished with Walker not being out there. There should be a kid at the club who should be given an opportunity to run from acting halfback. because it hasn't worked with why they keep putting Powell out there. Powell is why of what he was.
Why isn't somebody not saying, oh, do you not think you might want to run from dummy half? I mean, we've been saying it for like 10 weeks or whatever since Walker's been out.
Mm.
Why the fucking hell is someone not saying like,
I don't know whether we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago or not, but when we thought about it. But the other thing we don't get here compared to the NRL is how quickly we are playing the ball, which is usually a sign of dominating the opposition, which we're not doing because we're not making meters. Mm-hmm. And if you win that collision and land on your front, you get up and play the ball quickly, the defenders are usually on their arse, and then they go from dummy half. And maybe we're just too slow.
Yeah, but
because Powell is slow, he needs a more dominant
drop him.
But you, to play they behind. Use Dufty on tackle four to try and get that bit of extra time because he always does that. So why don't you just get him to take it up on tackle two or three or something? And then because they're missing out on that momentum because like that's what it does, doesn't it, dummy half? It just sort of builds a little bit of a momentum in short spurts. We haven't got that in our game at all. So we're never building that pressure or that momentum.
I think we're missing that from Ashton in carry one or two.
Yeah, wouldn't be maybe.
Why did we re-sign Powell so early in the season? There's all these questions of it just doesn't seem well run. It just seems to be a higgledy-piggledy mess. People aren't talking to certain people. It just doesn't work.
Maybe Powell's relatively cheap and quite solid.
Well, this could be.
And then if Walker doesn't get injured, it's not a problem. But the moment Walker gets injured, it's a problem.
Oh, it's the whole thing. Curry
you can't really knock Powell for his tackling and his stuff like that. It's just run from dummy half.
He wouldn't be anywhere near Wigan's team. So why do we accept him? You know, we're supposed to try to be the best. I saw that Kyle Moore, I watched him on YouTube last night. He was giving his little opinion on his time at Saints and then he had a very brief spell at Warrington and he said there were just things he saw at training that just weren't the same as at Saints. At Saints, it was all real high intensity and he said it just, I think he only said 1%, but he used to say 1%. Someone used to say 1% all the time, was it?
Yeah.
Can't remember who it was.
All the little 1%ers.
All the little 1%. But he was going on about the little 1%ers.
Are we going about Steve Price?
No, I don't think it was Price. It might have been.
It was a big Dave Brailsford thing before he got a little bit of a cloud over him. It was a big. When he was at Sky Cycling, it was all about 1% here and there and the other way.
Well, I mean, he's saying 1%. I reckon this lot are 33%. They're a third behind Wigan. You know, I know they're bringing in a few boppers, but I feel sorry for Vaughan. He's been really on his own now for a fair few years, hasn't he? He must be thinking, oh, that bloody Viking museum looks lovely.
Great.
And also, we talked about Carl Webb's loft. Who's going to move into the bungalow? Does a bungalow even have a loft? Life in the bungalow can make you feel invincible. It ain't like life on Rodeo. If you like Tokyo and hate what's on the radio, come over to the bungalow. I'd like to show you. Bungalow was sold, so there's no chance of a new renter coming in.
It's just bad news. That's where it all went wrong, isn't it?
Who was first in the bungalow? It was Inglis, wasn't it? Inglis hit his head on the light when he moved in.
He did.
And it all went wrong from there on.
Oh, was it? Which way round was it? Inglis first, then Magoulias? Or was it Magoulias?
Magoulias came afterwards, as did McKaylee. I think
McKaylee, I know McKaylee.
Fresh into
came
the bungalow
after.
Was Inglis. That was. Oh, dear.
And that was career ending for him. Life in the bungalow can make you feel invincible. It ain't like life on Rodeo.
Anyway, now's the time that we ask our listeners to write in for a question to Sam Burgess. We've agreed with Sam that his walk on Saturday around Lim Dam will consist of a one-to-one talk with Sam Burgess. Put your questions in and Sam will ask that question and we'll report back in a week's time. Thank you.
You've reminded me, Dennis, we've had a letter.
Oh, shit. I was trying to distract him.
Hang on, let me get it out. The handwriting's appalling. Here we go.
Yeah.
Dear What Would Brian Bevan Say? I couldn't help but notice you're on the hunt for a Simon for Dennis. My name is Simone. Ooh. I'm 74-year-old, retired driving instructor, twice divorced. My rugby league experiences date back to a working girl at Wilderspool in the Legends Lounge on a Sunday afternoon before the match.
That's something to do with me.
I was once even allowed to retrieve a rugby ball off Snooker's roof, which I threw back onto the pitch and managed to concuss Rick Thackeray. I'm told I still, after six pints, scrub up well, and I'm partial to a bit of scrum down and a loose arm at the feed on a Friday night. Just as long it's over before 9 o'clock, as that's when I apply my ointment. Dennis strikes me as a man that doesn't need any L plates to navigate around a girl like me. So if he's interested, I'll pop down to Somerset and sit on his podcast. Oh, sorry, sit in on his podcast. Sorry.
Oh, right. Okay.
I make a mean shepherd's pie and I'd be happy to dress up as Ray French if Dennis is into that kind of thing. Simone Broomhead from Densham Avenue, Longford. So, there you go.
Okay. That's very kind of you, Simone. I'll take that into consideration. Still on the lookout, so if anybody wants to get in front of Simone.
What's wrong with Simone? She sent in a picture as well. She sent in a picture. Right.
But if everybody can get behind Simone, then maybe.
The surname's Broomhead. Do you see a striking resemblance? I don't know. I've just sent it you on WhatsApp. Have a quick look and see what you think. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a gene in the...
It's taking a while to come through, actually.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Actually, we my phone not open can't that. Connect. Yeah, I'm glad. Actually, I can't open it. It won't open.
Oh, well, you'll have that. You have that before you go to bed, Dennis. Have a look.
It'll probably come out before the end of the podcast, but yeah, I'll look out for that.
Oh, God.
Sam's still looking distressed. Is it that bad?
I'm trying to... it won't delete.
It's embedded.
Round 19 results. Saints 4, Lee 16, Huddersfield 10, Wakefield 46, Leeds 42, Salford 6.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, it's just come through. That's terrible. Sorry, Simone. There's nothing wrong with that, but, there is.
Wigan 12, Hull 32, and Catalans 6, Hull KR 34. You all right there, Dennis?
Jesus.
Printing that off?
Where's she from?
Densham Avenue, Longford.
Christ, is there a kebab shop around there?
Well, it leaves the table looking like this. Hull still in sixth on 21 points. Wakefield in seventh on 20 points. Warrington in eighth on 18 points. Sam, mathematically... we can still do it.
Yes, we can mathematically.
In your heart, hand on heart, will we do it? Will we do it?
No, we won't.
Oh, dear.
Are you still going to go to the rest of the home games this year, Sam? You look that depressed. You're even considering maybe not going, and I look at you.
Well, I'm going to miss the next two because I'm in France.
Oh! Let's talk about that. Where are you off to? That's far more interesting than this rubbish. Stop myself then.
Yes, very good.
Loire Valley for a week and then Normandy for a week.
Okay, be nice.
Mrs. Sankey has got four properties for us to look at.
Oh,
excellent. Oh. Yes. Looking for. Good. Lovely. You're taking a suitcase of cash with you as well.
I'm taking Mrs. Sankey. That's who I'm taking. She's the money in our relationship.
No. Yeah. I'm taking her in a suitcase. Interesting.
Pangai Junior stats from the weekend versus Hull KR. 7 tackles, 10 carries, 55 metres and 1 error. Liam Byrne playing for Wigan against Hull. 34 tackles, 3 carries, a staggering 15 metres. So he looks like he'll fit in nicely, doesn't he? There doesn't seem anyone at Wigan, what I can see on social media, that's worried about Liam Byrne leaving. Have you know, like, no. They're all...
No.
Oh, dear.
Wigan do seem to be having a little bit of downtime in the middle of the season, don't they? Before they come back for the...
Before they come back with a wet sail. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Are we done on cast then? Any conclusion or we've had enough?
I think we just need to... Let's just see what happens next week. Well, we've got a week off, I think, haven't we? So,
where are we at with Sam Burgess? Who's still behind Uncle Sam and who isn't? What's the... Hands up.
I'm still...
Behind Uncle Sam.
I'm still behind him. I'm still behind him.
Sam's still behind him. Sam and Sam, he's still behind him.
Well, he would be, wouldn't
he? Well, he keeps bumping into him at limp down, doesn't he? That's what the reason is.
Yeah. I'm sort of on the fence watching Sam walk past hand in hand with Sam. So I'm not really going to commit at this stage. Although I've become more swayed by your persuasive skills, Mr. London.
Oh, thank you.
I'm almost thinking that, you know, now is this year is the time to sack the board. And
goodness.
I think, you know, I read that article off that guy who we mentioned, and he really does nail it. You know, he pulls apart the vision of what's his face. You know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. And I think there's some actual, I think, agreement amongst people and fans now starting to come around to the fact that this all stems from those directors that are actually making out, you know, where Warrington's going, who they're employing, the recruitment, who's responsible, the coach, all that. And actually, maybe those decisions are the ones that are really not getting us anywhere. What about you, Rob?
I'm loving it. Yesterday afternoon, I thought, I'm so glad I watched Warrington because it's always the same, isn't it? Well, imagine watching a team that was actually, like, you know, really good and won it every second year. It'd be really boring. And it gives you something to live for, doesn't it? Sort of taking this to bits, you know.
It's the hope that kills you.
It's all there, isn't it? It's like an eaten mess. You never quite know what's on the next layer. It's like a tiramisu. Yes.
I worry for you. I feel like because you've took this challenge and not swearing, that you might get an ulcer. You know, because you're keeping it
holding
all
it all in.
You know, I don't feel. Do you get that? I don't get that feeling anymore when I watch Warrington. That feeling of anxiety, or they're about to lose, is gone. It doesn't feel like that anymore. I don't feel. I don't feel the pain like I used to feel of 6 or 7 years ago. This podcast has completely rinsed me. You know,
I mean, we're only talking, what was it? Was it a week or two since you had that massive rant?
we had to cut out. Yeah,
that's true. Oh, yeah, you cut a lot. Yeah,
cut most of it out. Yeah. Predictions. We can predict the future.
Or resist the inevitable urge to try. Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Next up for Wire. Not that it matters. Is that delightful game away at Lee? The match is a week on Friday with an 8 p.m. kickoff. Before Mr. Sankey declares himself bankrupt. Here's Hal.
Well, well, well. It's now gone past the point of embarrassing. All that money. All those facilities. All that planning year after year. And this coach can't get his team into the top six. And let's face it, in a competition that's completely on its ass. Even the happy clappers cannot come up with an excuse. But to add to the hilarity, long before was needed, the club decided to give Mr. Burgess a 12-month extension. Yes, too hyped up on his name rather than assessing the aptitude of his coaching credentials and his poor judgment in recruitment. If this was any other industry, they'd have wheeled in a professional consultancy years ago. But no. You're still bumbling along in lowbrow marketing gimmicks. Absurd hope. And as all the town knows, overinflated egos. While the rest of the league laughs at you and treats you like the punchline you've become.
Well, I mean, Hal's not. I mean, Hal, to be fair, has been pretty despondent about it all for a few years now, hasn't he? Ever since he went camping with Dennis. But
yeah,
maybe they need to get Hal on the board. Maybe he'd be perfect for the board. Don't know.
Someone with that viewpoint. So when I look at this, obviously I had a very successful week. My first successful week. I'm thinking about, I'm going to go first, by the way, because obviously I won.
Well, I'll just tell you the balances first then. So I lost £51 last week. I also lost £26 the week before. So I'm down to £208.20. Dennis lost a tenner at Catalans, but he won £116.67 due to his backing Castleford and also backing Stone. So he's up to £159.94. Sam was looking very poor. He was down to £8.11, but he did win £11.67 last week. So he's at £19.28. So it'll be intriguing to see if he continues his 50-50 every week moving forward. But come on, Dennis, we'll start with you then. Lee away.
Okay. Worried about the Palmer Violet kit. Obviously, that's going to be a concern for me. I don't think I'm going to bet. I'm going to bet on a Lee win. I am going to bet on a Lee win, £5. And I'm going to change from Sam Stone for 1 week only because I've been looking at my tackle side points. And I can't imagine that Luke Yates has got short odds. He must have long odds. Yeah, so I'm going to go £5 Yates.
£5 on Yates.
Has he scored a try since this season?
I don't know if he has.
Has he scored a try for us at all, Sam? Statistics.
I can check that up for you.
He's having a look. Well, I'll go while he's checking that up then. So I'm got to pull my head in a bit now because Dennis is catching me. So I'm going to go. I'll go £1 on Warrington winning. And I'll have £1 on Vaughan. There you go. I just don't know how this one's going to pan out. We might have this Parramatta Eels second rower in by this stage, and who knows? They might. You just don't know who Warrington do. They might prove us all wrong.
Good idea. Good idea. That. Well done. So Vaughan, Vaughan hasn't scored a try this year in the Super League, but he did score in the Cup semi-final. Yates hasn't scored in Super League this year. In Super League. Most tries in Super League, 7 in 2022.
Yeah.
16 overall. I think we'll put up a better performance as we do raise our game a bit. But ultimately, I've got to go for Lee. I've got 19 quid, so I'll go £15 Lee.
Wow.
And I'll go £2 Ryan Matteson.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. We'll be back next week in the lead up to round 21 of the Wigan game. So until then, it's a George Orwell, the road to Wigan Pier from Sam.
All the best.
An Animal Farm from Dennis.
For seeing you.
And a clergyman's daughter, goodbye from me. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Did Simone give you the phone number? I've let her go. I'm going through changes.
together.